Welcome, everybody, to episode 64 of Zelda Working Title Podcast. I'm your host, Adam, and here with me today are Matt, Alex, and Nick. What's up, guys?
Boy, this guy again.
Yeah, did you say hey. Padcast?
Yeah, I think you did say Mad Cats.
Mad Cats?
Did you say
Zelda Working Mad Cats? Bat Cats?
Is this brought to you by Mad Cats?
Zelda Working Batman Next Generation Forever.
You know what? I will say that the Zelda Working Title Podcast, the Zelda Universe podcast, like the Mad Cats version of our podcast... Just because I haven't gotten a good dig at them in a while.
Yeah, have you listened to theirs?
It eventually broke. No, they didn't. They break. They stopped doing it.
They stopped doing it. Yeah, aww, they don't even have any episodes on iTunes anymore.
Aww. We broke probably, them down.
So yeah, then we're the best Zelda podcast ever, right?
Yeah, we did it.
Yeah,
definitely. Everybody should email them and just I don't know, like just type spit on your grave to them.
Just somebody send them a DVD copy of I Spit on Your Grave.
Yeah,
remake or original.
Bootleg though, with like
the bootleg
with
version.
A sticker on it, no like real labels or anything, and you have to write on it permanent marker.
And yes. It's really just a DVD of your parents' wedding. And then, it's always
and
the
then
wedding tape
the
that
after
gets
party, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, wait, I don't like the
sexy part,
the restaurant or something.
No.
Wait, are there wedding night sex videos? Is that
probably.
With taped titties?
I'm sure.
If
why not?
Yes. With falling off, taped back on titties of 17-year-old brides.
With absolutely no context and build-up, it just goes from zero to fucking horrifying.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Like when we talked about it at first, it was gross, but it sort of led to the grossness.
That's
and
why
we were
you,
all making
that's
comment.
Why you listen 5 minutes after we're finished to hear all the funny stuff.
So they think everybody thinks that we're just shitty people, and then if they happen to listen to 4 hours later,
yeah. Don't worry, guys. We're great. We're great guys. Just the other day, we gave to charity.
Wait, I thought you stopped doing
that's
that.
That's true. No.
Oh,
I gave. Well,
you gave up giving up, stopping giving to charity.
Well, what happened was I send a package of lunch meat to Somalia.
Mm-hmm. Well, it probably is rotten by the time it gets there. I would have to imagine.
No, I put an ice cube in.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, overnight.
Yeah, I did overnight shipping.
Okay,
I did just put to Somalia. So
and
I
then he wrote overnight, and they crammed it in our neighbor's mailbox.
Yeah, I'm sure. We'll get there fine. So
they'll probably just fly it over and just drop it over the jungles or whatever.
That's what they do with all the food,
right? Does Somalia even have jungles? I don't know.
Probably.
Maybe.
Do they have Xbox?
Do we have listeners in Somalia? Did you get Matt's meat package?
Any listeners in Somalia who got a nice pack of Carl Buttig honey-baked sliced ham, email me with a picture of you eating a sando, and it'll be a nice treat for me. It will show that my charity has... Because, nobody donates to charity out of altruism or anything. They do it to feel better. Mm-hmm. And so I'll feel the best if I see some poor people eating my ham.
Yes. So do that, Somalian listeners. So guys, have you been playing anything recently?
Yes.
Well, like what?
Have I?
Aren't you going to ask us individually?
I said Matt. But you didn't hear me.
No, I thought you said you guys.
I did.
Well,
and then
you said Matt.
Oh.
I'll make sure to boost the volume on that.
Played a little more Epic Mickey. I'm trying to think. I played Red Dead Redemption with...
Do you see that there's free DLC coming for that?
Yeah. Where you finally get to play as... what's his face? The guy who's barely in it? That's awesome.
Harrison
Ford? The old guy. Harrison Ford. And fuck,
I delivered pizza to like a gay, sexy Han Solo the other day.
That's kind of awesome.
It's not your turn. You get to.
It was great.
Talk about that on your turn.
But it's got nothing to do with video games. It was just a gay man who kept saying he kept calling me my man. Like he kept like, he was like hey my man. And I was like oh hey. And he's just like you got pizza my man. I was like yes I do. And he was wearing a vest and no shirt underneath it.
How do you know he's gay?
Yeah, he was like a 60-year-old man and the other 60-year-old men wearing vests and no shirts inside. Unless they were having like a cool like chill out vest party.
I mean, a Han Solo
I'm
party.
I'm not gonna assume anything about anyone's sexuality.
I don't know. I was delighted that it was just a bunch of gay men hanging out wearing vests.
Gay old
I
men.
Don't know. I'm not.
Yeah, they were gay older men. Gay older men are charming individuals.
I'm not saying you're. I think that in itself is a bad. Any stereotypes are bad. I think.
Well, I've never.
In fact, I'm going to counter that with gay men are assholes.
Has anybody ever been discriminated for looking like a Han Solo?
Han Solo.
Well, I mean, if you're one of those people who thinks that Boba Fett. Solo oh, shot <you're right>. First.
yeah, Boba Fett just thought he was a gay older gentleman.
Yeah,
he was just homophobic.
But as for games I've played.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I played a little Smash Brothers the other day.
Okay. Without me. A
couple rounds.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Well, it's not fun playing with you.
I fuck you. I don't ever want to... I fuck you? No.
Nick, have you even played with me? I know Matt has.
I've played with you once, okay. And it was no fun.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't.
Who's your worst character in that game?
He's good with all of them. Yeah.
Are you good with all of them?
Yeah.
I hate you.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, nobody wants to play against Adam.
what does a handicap do in that game? Does it make you just deal more damage?
No, it makes it so or hitting you makes you go further or less for less farther further. Depending
I'll
on
play with, I'll play with you with a handicap.
I don't know if can you do handicaps online.
I don't know.
Should be able to.
Never tried it. Let's try it.
I'm up for giving that a shot.
All right.
It's so hard playing games that game with you. It's good when we play like Halo or something just because, I mean, you suck and I'm like really, really good.
You've never even played Halo with me.
Yes, I have multiple times. When Reach came out, what? When I was living in San Francisco, we played all the time.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. Yes, it was you, Alex, me, and Chase. Not this Alex, my roommate Alex.
Chase doesn't play Halo. You're Chase. A liar. Was it?
No, it was one of your friends was over, and we had to do it over Skype because I didn't have a headset, remember?
Josh played. I don't remember playing with you, though. Whatever.
Yes, I was.
We should
I
do it more, chatting. Then.
Well, what games have you been playing, Nick?
I'm sorry. My mind is just... Oh, man. I can't believe Adam forgot that. They were good times.
Pokemon. That's my Nick.
I've been playing Pokemon.
See? Pretty good.
Pretty good, well, yeah.
How'd you do that? That was amazing. No, I've been playing Pokemon. Now I feel stupid saying that, Matt. Thanks.
Well, at least you're not that kid.
With Pikachu. Matt's shrugging and raising his eyebrows at me.
The diabetic Pikachu.
Yeah. I've been playing Pokemon.
Is that it?
Pretty much.
All right. Well, that's fine. Pokemon's good.
It's great. It's really good. I've been listening to a bunch of like albums that I haven't listened to. Because,
to be a master?
I don't know. Yeah. Just things to just really get me pumped up for my Pokemon training.
Awesome.
I mostly just listen to Europe.
Final Countdown.
Just listen to the Final Countdown.
Very good.
Just get my Pokemon on.
Good, good. All right. So, Alex.
I'm playing a lot of Team Fortress 2.
Oh, yeah?
So, pick that up.
I should download that. Forgot.
Yeah, you should invite us.
Yeah. I will.
I uninstalled Steam.
Why'd you do that?
I recently reinstalled Steam.
Hey, me too.
I've actually, like, I don't think I'm going to buy another retail game unless it's on Steam from now on, because I just simply cannot, like, I don't need to fucking get a CD anymore, so, or put any pop.
Steam's great.
It's fantastic. You know, the service is very good.
yeah.
Speaking of which, I also bought Bioshock.
Which one?
The Ooh. First one. Never played cool. it before.
Don't buy number two. Number two is a pile of shit.
I'm playing through the first, so I play. I've started yesterday, and I put on the hardest setting, and like I'm getting my ass kicked.
Yeah.
So I think it's a matter of figuring it out, but like I'm like it doesn't feel like a regular shooter,
right?
So I think it's a little bit of getting used to. But the atmosphere is fantastic, and the
yeah number two not only takes the same it introduces you to things in the same exact way that it feels like you're retreading, it's worse. Like the gameplay's worse, controls are worse, and even the graphics are significantly worse than the first game.
Really?
It doesn't make any sense.
It was developed by somebody else, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the publisher, 2K Games, using in-house studio.
Well, what about BioShock times Infinity?
No, that's the project that the BioShock people wanted to make.
Oh, really?
That's what they were working on instead of BioShock 2. The publisher wanted BioShock 2, so they use their in-house studio to make BioShock 2. Well, I forgot who makes BioShock, but that company went and made
2K?
It's a guy who looks like Ben Stiller.
No, 2K publishes. Yeah. 2K published it.
Okay.
But whoever made BioShock wanted, that developer wanted to do, mm-hmm. you know, BioShock Infinite, not BioShock 2.
Right.
Which is why, you know, BioShock 2, I know people have said, like I said, BioShock 2, it looks exactly like the first game. But people are like, well, what sequels don't look like the first game? But I think the whole point of BioShock was such a unique experience.
Right, exactly, and yeah.
Once you, it's a self-contained game. It doesn't really leave any sequel hooks. And then BioShock Infinite is obviously the game they wanted to make. It's completely different. Is a spiritual successor, just like it was to System Shock. And, you know, it really shows that BioShock 2 ended up being a piece of shit, and BioShock Infinite looks great. So,
well, okay.
But
anyway. Thanks for telling us about Pokemon, Nick.
Thanks for the history.
Yeah.
Of
oh wait,
show.
We're still on Alex. We're past Nick. Yeah. Never mind.
Wait, why am I getting shit on?
No, you aren't.
First, I get made fun of for playing Pokemon, and then you just insult me for only playing Pokemon.
That wasn't an insult. I was just going backwards in time, but I went too far.
But
at least my Pokemon love me.
But yeah,
yeah. Nick only has like 6 Pokemon too.
Do you carry your Pokewalker around?
No.
Oh, why not?
I haven't leveled up a character using the Pokewalker at all.
Oh, that's terrible.
I don't really feel...
You're not a Pokemon master. You're just a loser.
I think I've blacked out in that game once. Like, I didn't realize... I don't know.
You whited
out.
Being
an adult and not just trying to catch them all and then see if I can... I don't know. Being able to just train up 6 Pokemon makes me, like, just destroy gym leaders.
Yeah, definitely.
Can you tape a thing to your dick and, like, every time you get a boner, you get another...
Step,
yeah,
step.
One step. You'd have to.
I mean,
you'd have to get a lot of boners to get, you know.
Yeah,
anywhere.
I mean, over time, it'd be a really big accomplishment.
Really big. Get it?
Maybe I'll just tape it to my hands every time we do have band practice, mm-hmm. and so when I'm drumming,
yeah.
I'll just level up some Pokemon.
Good idea. All right, so sorry, Alex.
But yeah, so I just started, and I didn't realize how much of my friend really loves the story because of. How much Ayn Rand is involved with, I guess, it's very, objectivism is a lot of part of the game, and I didn't realize it was going to start right from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, about the made man, although I found it odd that, like, you know, we're not going to have any morality, and, you know, all this other shit, like, yeah, this is going to really go, you should be thinking, Nate, this is really going to go well.
Right.
But,
I want to give that game another shot.
I still need to finish it. I don't know. I think maybe there's just too many things going on at one time. So, like, I'm fighting people, but then people are talking and telling me the story.
Yep.
And
that's
like,
the
I've
exact
just,
same
I,
problem I had.
I don't
it.
Like. I don't even know what the story is, other than like my friends telling what the story is.
No, I feel the exact same way. I feel like it like assaults my senses with how much is happening.
Yeah.
By having the majority of the story come through audio logs that you have to find.
Right.
And you only get those like while you're battling a million other dudes.
Yes.
I don't have time to listen to that when I'm being shot at.
Right.
Do not watch Spy Kids 4D.
Oh my god, scratch and sniff.
It's in 3D and you gotta smell stuff and you gotta
it's
watch
in
stuff
4D.
And smell stuff. Yeah, it's fucking insane. Don't watch it. It's confusing. If you thought BioShock was confusing, this is much more confusing.
I see.
There's like a $20 like bundle of BioShock and Oblivion, right?
Is there?
Yeah, I think there is. It's on like the same disc.
That's interesting.
That's a good deal then. So
I've seen it before. I think it's $20. It might be $30.
Huh. Okay. Well, either way,
because I got a BioShock for $20. Then you got for $19.
I think I'm gonna get that because I still don't own Oblivion and I've been wanting to start that game over.
Yeah, I think one of these days I'm going to try Morrowind again and go from there.
Don't fucking play Morrowind.
No? When it came out, my friends, like, they were obsessed with it for, like, a year or two. But then when I tried to play it, like, I'm pretty sure I've said this before, but, like, I didn't get past, I don't know, like, the first area. All I would do is just, like, pick mushrooms on the side of the road, and then I got bored.
It hasn't aged well.
Okay. Then maybe I'll start with Oblivion.
Start with Skyrim.
Yeah.
Have you never played Oblivion, Adam?
No.
Oh, my God. Yeah, start there.
All right.
You don't have to, though. I mean, if you want to play it now, but, I mean, Skyrim comes out in a couple months.
Right.
That's true. Oblivion's a blast. I think you would love playing it. If you started now and then went straight into Skyrim, I think you'd love it.
All right.
And they just came out with a version of Oblivion, the 4th anniversary.
Right.
Version,
yeah.
Or 5th anniversary.
Right? I put that on your Facebook wall.
You did?
I did.
I didn't see it.
Well. Oh, well. Oh, excuse me.
I probably have you blocked.
Yeah, maybe.
What have you been playing, Adam?
Not a lot. My computer is pretty much set up. So yesterday I installed Just Cause 2, Mirror's Edge, and Portal, and I played those all in 3D. Or Portal 2.
Do you use mouse and keyboard for those games, or are you using
a
pad?
Is there... Have they come out with any kind of software that lets you use a wireless 360 controller?
Yeah, no. there's a little. Never mind. You can use a wireless thing, but it's a cable.
Right.
That
okay.
You have to plug.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Right. Okay. So maybe I'll use that, but I don't know. But Portal 2 looked
just
amazing.
I didn't realize that Just Cause 2 got it was on PC.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they retroactively went back in and made it 3D. But the 3D for Mirror's Edge and Just Cause 2 are kind of bad. Mirror's Edge is pretty much broken 3D. Just Cause 2 is... it's kind of... But like the left eye sees both images and the right eye only sees one image. So it's like I'm seeing 3D, but then I'm also seeing like a third extra image that I'm not supposed to be seeing. That's kind of weird.
That sounds like...
But
do you have to have it's a, sick.
Yeah,
do you have to have
exactly.
a 3D monitor?
Yeah.
I don't really understand... why you need, I don't know. I guess I just don't understand the need for like 3D TVs and 3D monitors.
Well, I mean, it's interesting to me as a technology. So
No. I don't mean like what's the point. I mean, why? I guess I just don't understand the way the new 3D works.
Like why you have to have so many things.
No, it's because it has to have twice the refresh rate.
Oh,
so it can show
okay.
twice as many images.
Right.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
But Portal 2...
I thought there was like an actual special screen.
No, there is.
But
I mean, it's a special screen in that, yeah, it has a 20 or 240 hertz refresh rate.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. But Portal 2 looks really good because it was made, you know, with 3D in mind, whereas Mirror's Edge and Just Cause 2 did it retroactively.
Yeah.
So, looks really, really good.
Does
really,
it,
really pretty.
Does it add to the game at all? Or?
No, of course not.
So I was thinking, so I finally saw something in 3D. I saw a 3D TV at Best Buy,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, okay, that's a nice effect. I'm not going to watch it like this.
Have you not seen 3D movies before?
I haven't seen a 3D movie yet.
Really?
I'm sort of reluctant.
Really?
I'm reluctant to pay them. I haven't been to a movie theater in a while also, but...
You should go see Spy Kids 4D.
No. You know, like, Roger Ebert is so against the 3D in general. That he says most of the movies come out like it sort of takes away from the movie watching experience. I think if there's a movie that I end up watching a second time, I would watch that second time in 3D.
Avatar. How many times did you watch Avatar? 50?
I never
times?
Watched Avatar.
See,
you're
I think Avatar. You mean
Avatar?
Despite yes,
Avatar.
Despite how good of a movie it is, I think that has the best 3D out of any movie I've seen.
It's a little too late to watch. I mean, like, I'm not going to buy a TV to watch Avatar.
Right, of course.
And that was actually the...
Well, you can watch it on your 3DS when you get one.
That was actually That was the actual demo they had on the TV in Best Buy. And the effects I was seeing, I was like, okay, that's a cool effect. Like, okay, there's stuff in front and behind, but it's like... Mm-hmm. I don't know if I...
Yeah, it doesn't...
I'm not going to spend an extra $4 for that.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Avatar. I really enjoyed seeing it the first time, like as an experience.
Mm-hmm.
I hated the movie pretty much.
Yeah,
is like the middle part of the movie is bullshit. But it was such a neat experience seeing it in IMAX in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope that experience can be matched again, like with some better 3D or some better special effects or something.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think
I'm excited to see what Avatar 2 looks like.
Avatar 2 3D.
It's called Avatar 2.
Oh,
2.
Clever.
Avatar 2 is in 2D,
but 3D at the same time.
So there's supposed to be mm-hmm. two sequels, right? Or supposed to be part of a trilogy?
Yeah.
Of course, everything has to be a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
No movies are conceived as one movie.
Or it's two movies.
I mean, you go in to watch Aaron Brockovich. You're just like,
Aaron Brockovich
this is the first part. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Nick Fury shows up at the very end, and he's just like, Aaron, I love the way you handle shit.
And then Aaron Brockovich will return in the Avengers.
Yeah.
And then George Lucas comes in and makes 3 prequels, and then makes you buy them on Blu-ray.
Yeah, oh, I like the way he padded those Blu-rays, mm-hmm. though. Like, I was debating whether or not I was going to buy just the original trilogy separate
mm-hmm.
to save some money. But I was like, it might be worth it to own those shitty movies just so I own them. But then the real selling point is the, I'm pretty sure special features are only going to be in the all 6 of them box set.
The $500 box set.
No, it's $80.
Oh, really? That's not that bad.
Yeah.
Is it one movie per disc?
I actually think it's, yeah, I think it's actually 7 discs.
Wow.
I'm not sure, because I think there's a special feature disc.
Damn.
Can we talk about Captain America, First Avenger?
Yeah, go for it.
Nick and I saw it on Friday.
It's a 3D movie, right?
We didn't see it in 3D.
Oh, okay. Did you see the 3D trailer on Nintendo Video?
No, because I don't... Where the fuck do you get those things?
Just wireless. You can get spot passed on any wireless. So, like, your wireless router at home.
I don't understand how it... I open that thing up and then there's nothing in it.
I don't know. Maybe you have to turn it on.
It makes no sense to me. I hate the Nintendo Video thing.
I'll instruct you afterwards. We'll get you set up. So you can see Slurps 3.
Also, when are they gonna add 3D streaming on Netflix? I want to watch 3D stuff.
See,
on
there
3DS.
Was something I read recently that Nintendo said that they're doing that, but Netflix says, I don't remember if they said they're not doing it or if they just didn't comment. So right now, nobody really knows.
They probably need to figure out a way to charge you more for it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't see them not doing it. That would just be silly. But
yeah, it'd be really cool. I mean, at this point, I have no use for the Netflix application on my 3DS because I usually play 3DS about 10 feet away from my TV.
Right.
And I can just watch it on a TV. But if it's in 3D, I'd be interested in watching some 3D movies.
Yeah.
But anyway, then David Lynch would get really mad at me.
Can we talk about Captain America?
Talk about Captain America.
Okay, let's talk about Captain America.
I think it was the best Captain America movie I could have imagined.
That's good. It was
what I thought of when I think of Captain America. Like,
yeah,
it was just really good. It was as good a Captain America movie as X-Men First Class was an X-Men movie. Like, it did the right things that you expected it to do and focused on the things that you wanted it to focus on. And it didn't. It felt like the people who made it cared about the characters more than cared about making a superhero movie to make tons of money. Yeah.
So how was Lucas Lee in it?
Fucking awesome.
He was great.
Yeah.
He
was the best part of the movie.
He's the main character.
It's a good thing when the actor who's playing the main character is the best part.
Right.
But he plays it perfectly. He was great.
Good. I think he is of, I might be making bold statements here, but he is of the same ilk as like a Matt Damon or Brad Pitt, where they are capable of doing, because they're handsome dudes, they're capable of doing like leading man stuff, but I think he's also a super talented actor.
Yeah.
That
he's not just a muscle man who can mm-hmm. be a cool dude.
You'd be surprised, because when you think superhero movie, you think muscle man guy.
Vin Diesel, just wants to look The Rock.
Cool. Right.
Like Vin Diesel could also be a good actor, but I think the other surprising thing here...
Well, let's compare it to a Jason Statham, a guy who will just kick in your knees and be like, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
but I mean...
He's not gonna win your heart.
Right, Chris Evans, like, I think even, like, Chris Hemsworth in Thor, like, Thor was a pretty good movie, and Chris Hemsworth is pretty good in it, but he doesn't, like, show an incredible amount of range, and it's a testament to both the script, the direction, and the acting in Captain America that it actually made you care about the character, and his range of emotion wasn't stoic to fighting, to, like, angry. Yeah. I mean, like, it was... He was a very sympathetic character, as well as being very brave and very heroic.
Especially if you're considering that, like, He was the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four movies. Yeah. I think that's the biggest concern, right? Because you watch that and you're like, there's no way.
Yeah, those movies are shitty.
Right, and that's what I mean. It's like, I think that's like when a guy looks like that, that's the role you would think he would be cast in. But then you see when you hand him a movie like Captain America, he's capable of so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just like a really nice movie. I mean, it's not like an incredible movie.
Yeah,
it's not like Pixar's The Incredibles.
No. Yeah. It's I would say it's as enjoyable a film as The Incredibles. But I mean, it's not like it's obviously not super deep. It's not super complicated. It's not like the cinematography isn't amazing.
It's a really good blockbuster.
It's really well done.
Really good action movie. Is
straightforward and really satisfying. Some of the special effects are a little, not the greatest, especially some of the green screen compositing, but, the actual costume and set design and, the look of the film is really, they nailed the tone.
It's surprisingly funny.
Yeah, it's really funny. It is a fun time at the movie theater.
So
I would say it's my favorite, Marvel Avengers prequel movie.
Yeah. I was about to ask.
Better than Iron Man.
How is it? Like Avengers wise,
it leads straight into the Avengers, which is awesome.
It comes with a trailer for the Avengers at the end. It got me super pumped. Like I wasn't super pumped for the Avengers.
With the Avengers movie, I was just I've constantly just been like, well, yeah, how are they going to cram that many characters into a movie and still have it be fun?
But at the end of that movie, when you see the Avengers trailer, I mean, it's not even just seeing the Avengers trailer on its own. It's with that movie before it and then seeing the Avengers trailer.
Yeah, because there's a scene at the end of the credits that you're not sure if it's a scene at the end of the credits or the beginning of the trailer, but they just flow right into each other. And it's really cool.
Yeah, please do we know, go see Captain America.
Do we know what they're going to do with Hulk?
No. Mark Ruffalo is in the trailer for a split second.
Yeah, you can see him.
Hmm.
My guess is they haven't done the special effects or completed
They probably
any
just don't want
to.
I mean, it's a very short trailer. They don't want to show off everything.
Right.
They show the characters we're familiar
with. They show Tony Stark and Thor.
Right.
Have a little interaction.
Oh, and Loki is in it. He's the bad guy.
Yeah. And apparently Red Skull is also going to be a bad guy.
Yeah, as much as I didn't really care for Thor, like I think it's a good movie. I don't care for the character. I kind of do want to, like, I want to watch them all again before the Avengers.
Yeah.
I kind of want to watch, like, Iron Man and then Captain,
especially because the last two have been so like intertwined. What with the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. being like a big part of Thor.
Oh yeah, and Howard Stark, Tony Stark's dad, is a main character in Captain America.
Oh god, right. He's great.
And the Tesseract cube, which is like a thing from the end of Thor, like the teaser scene at the end of Thor, is a main plot point in Captain America. Like
that's cool.
Tieovers. Like Thor, Hawkeye felt really shoehorned in. Like the S.H.I.E.L.D. thing kind of was like, okay. And same with Iron Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
But Captain America did it perfect. Like the way that the universe ties in Captain America, that's what gets you so excited for the Avengers. Because it doesn't feel shoehorned in. It feels so natural. And the universe is really starting to come together.
Good.
And so I think it nails it on every level.
The Avengers is coming out next year, right?
Yeah, next summer.
All right. Cool.
It'll be cool. I'm really excited to see, because I feel like Joss Whedon is a director who can really handle an ensemble cast.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
there are so many people, so many characters in Firefly and so many characters in Angel and Buffy. And I feel like it's going to be a really interesting movie. I think it's going to be cool.
Yep. All right. Well, I guess let's do Adam's News Hour.
Oh, should we talk about the Spider-Man trailer too, or...
Sure, if you want.
Oh yeah,
why not?
I watched the panel.
I haven't seen the trailer yet.
The trailer's cool. The trailer, at the same time, while being kind of cool, I don't know. I'm excited for it, but watching the Comic-Con panel got me even more excited.
I don't know his name, the main character,
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah. Popping out of the audience or whatever.
Yeah. He started the panel by like saying something. It was really cool. But yeah, in watching that panel, you can tell how much Mark Webb cares about the Spider-Man character and how much he actually knows about all the different, like the Ultimate Spider-Man and the Amazing Spider-Man. And he talked a lot about like the different like Spider-Man universes and what he's taken from each of them. And he seems to know a lot and care a lot about Spider-Man. And Andrew Garfield seems to, at the same, like the same time, he seems to really, really be a big fan of Spider-Man.
So
he's very, very excited to be in it.
Is this supposed to be a standalone or a series?
It's going to be a new series. Okay. I guarantee it'll be a new franchise.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the trailer really did nothing for me, but I kind of don't want to watch anything. I don't want to go into any with any biases, so I'm going to pretend like I don't
The trailer really doesn't show much, though, either. It just shows just little clips of the build-up and the origin.
Do we know who the bad guys are?
The Lizard.
Oh, okay.
So that should be interesting. I think it's...
There's some grainy cell phone photos of a clip that they showed of the Lizard. And it looks cool. I guess the special effects weren't entirely finished, but he looks like the Lizard. It looks cool. And he's got like a lab coat on. And
nice.
Like the original stock photos that they showed of like the Spider-Man costume, like you start questioning it. But then once you see the trailer and what it will be, once they get all the effects together, I thought it looked fantastic.
Yeah. I guess... Mark Webb in the Comic-Con panel was talking about how he wanted the Spider-Man costume to look like it was made by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, there's actually, like, soles to the shoes.
Yeah,
nice.
To Spider-Man's, like, boots instead of just being just, like, cloth, like, little booties.
Right.
They actually have, like, soles because he wants to be able to run and jump and everything looks like it has its purpose.
It definitely looks like
And on
like
the palm of his hand, he even has like the button for the web shooter.
Oh, nice.
I think that's a nice touch. And you were mentioning how it seems like the director really knows Spider-Man. The fact that he has web shooters, it makes it seem like, even in the trailer, you get the hint that Peter Parker is a smart guy. You have to realize this. He's a very, very smart guy.
Also, the trailer and the panel, they hint at where he gets the idea for the webbing fluid. It looks like it's something that Oscorp is working on because the room where he gets bit by the spider, they have a bunch of samples of different spider webs.
Nice.
And they're working on stuff like that. And I guess Gwen Stacy's character works for Oscorp. And I guess Peter's dad used to be an employee for Oscorp. But they're going to work. I don't know. It looks really cool. It looks like Mark Webb knows what he's doing. And, like, he really, really cares about making a good movie.
Good.
Yeah.
Very cool. And that's next year as well?
Yeah, that's next summer.
Okay. Well, a lot of good things to look forward to then.
Yeah, it'll be a big superhero-y summer.
Yep. Okay, Adam's News Hour. Gaming releases. We got Bastion on 360, and that was it.
Wait, is that character from...
The X-Men.
Neverending Story. Beast?
Oh.
No, that's Gaston.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Bastion is the Neverending Story.
Well, isn't Bastion like the palace or like the place in Beauty and the Beast? Yeah.
Hall of Bastion is from Kingdom Hearts.
But that's in the Beauty and the Beast part, right?
Yeah, that is. Okay. That's Hall of Bastion is the Beauty and Beast.
Okay, good.
Whatever.
Castle.
Upcoming games.
Manor.
August 2nd is Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Trilogy HD for PS3, PS2, and PC.
Tom Clancy. Another side note. Have you read any reviews about the 3DS Splinter Cell game?
No, I have not.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was any good. I'm assuming it's shitty, seeing as I've heard nothing about it.
Maybe. I don't know. I guess it came out.
It's out.
Yeah, it was a launch title, right?
I don't know if it was a launch title, but it came out in the launch window.
I don't know. Whatever. August 16th is No More Heroes Paradise for PS3 and 360, Age of Empires Online for PC, and Altered Beast for, I think, PSN.
Age of Empires Online,
that's the game that Alex works on.
Yeah, our roommate works on that.
Really?
Yeah, he's a concept artist.
That's awesome.
What's his company called? Steam-powered games or
gas-powered games?
Very cool.
So you'll see a bunch of his work. I guess his concept art is going to be in the loading screens.
Very nice.
Yeah, he's done a lot of cool stuff.
Cool. All right, Nintendo 64. Let's talk about it.
Nintendo 64.
So
should we insert a clip of the N64 kid?
Yeah, why not?
All right, good. So that goes right Here.
That's one of the very one of the few internet memes that I find funny.
Were you guys that excited when you got your N64?
I was super excited when I got mine.
Yeah, I got mine.
I got mine on a whim, though.
I was like that for my Super Nintendo because that was a gift. But I'm pretty sure I went with my dad to Walmart to get my N64.
I got mine at Fry's Electronics.
Mine was not purchased for me. My brother, one day, on a whim, he had been saving up money, and I like sold our Sega Genesis, and I gave him some of my money.
No.
Yeah, here's the thing. We were poor, so we had to sell things to buy things.
That's terrible.
So yeah, we sold our Genesis, and we went to the store, and we bought a used N64 with Mario 64 with it.
What color?
Just the original. They weren't colored.
Okay.
When they first came out.
Okay.
Yeah. I got mine in a couple years after it came out. I think 1998.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a colored one, Adam?
No.
I got an original one too, but with a purple controller.
My friend
I had the clear purple controller too.
My friend got the green Donkey Kong 64 one.
That one was dumb.
I really didn't like the colored N64s.
Yeah,
I
mean,
Didn't most of them come out at the end of its cycle?
I think so.
Some they came out 2 or 3 years after that's when they started.
The clear rainbow ones, like
I guess that
the
is
clear a, rainbow it, ones.
I mean, like there were like different colors of the rainbow. Okay. They were the see-through ones where you could see all the chips and
right,
stuff.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, N64 was a big console for me.
Oh yeah,
because I got it in 1998 or something. I think, and I
got mine in 97.
We did all our chores, and it was like it was this big surprise that my mom got it for us because we had like done spring cleaning or something,
mm-hmm.
something ridiculous like that. Like we did something big, and then
out of nowhere,
yeah, we got an N64, which was amazing, and yeah, Matt, I'm remembering
that story. With like your friend who stole the game or whatever.
Oh, right. Ripped it out of the...
Yeah, Ocarina of Time. That was until a couple of years later.
Ripped it out of the N64 and just bolted.
Yeah, that was... I think that was in 2001 that happened.
Well, let's pause for a minute.
Alex. It was 9/11.
Alex.
Yeah.
You never got an N64, right?
No, but I got to play it the day it came out.
What?
That's cool.
So, my cousin somehow... I was over my
your
cousin.
Hot cousin?
No, not my cousin.
That's wait, Alex, you were 55 years old at this time, right?
I was like 100,000 years old.
Wait, how old were you when it came out?
What year did it come out?
96.
96, so by then I was already 13.
Wow.
How did you not have one?
My parents didn't let us have video game consoles. They never bought them for
us.
That
makes sense.
So we had. I grew up
but
with.
But they're Asian. That doesn't make sense.
I grew up with an NES, and we always had a.
They grew up with StarCraft.
We grew
right?
up with. Yeah, we had a PC. Like, I grew of up course. With a PC at that point. And I. By the time the N64 was out, 2 years after the N64 was out, I finally was able to get a Super Nintendo.
Oh, jeez.
So I ended up. And then. When I was 13, I got a Super Nintendo, and then by like 15 or 16, I got a PlayStation.
GameCube?
So I completely skipped the N64 and went right to the GameCube.
I skipped the Super NES.
Yeah.
And went straight to the N64. I went from NES to N64.
Yeah, I skipped.
We had a Genesis in between.
But yeah, the N64 was a big system to me because I had a NES, but like I got my NES in 93 or something, so it was like 4 or 5 years after it came out,
mm-hmm.
and like my grandma got it at a yard sale for like $30 or something.
Nice.
Like it was already super cheap by the time I got it because the Super Nintendo came out like a year before that.
Right.
So I was 4 years old or something. But still, like, it was just like my grandma's like, I bought this at a yard sale. Here's an NES. And, like, it never, like, I played it all the time, but But to me, I grew up playing computer games, and I played computer games more than I played up until the N64.
My family didn't have a computer for so long.
Much more than I played console games.
Hmm.
What?
My parents didn't have a computer for so long.
Yeah, we got. I was lucky enough to have a computer.
My parents had typewriters on their desks.
The only computer games I played were like that really old DOS game where like the two gorillas on buildings threw bananas at each other.
Rampage.
I played Treasure Trove Cove, something. Math Blasters.
I played Stunts.
I don't know what that is.
Oh my god. Should look it up on YouTube. It's this really shitty 3D racing game.
Mm-hmm.
But oh my god, you could build tracks, and I just built tracks that were crazy.
Well, I was like playing when Super Nintendo was out. I was already playing like Doom and Doom 2 on my PC.
Yeah, see, we weren't old enough for that.
So I was
right. I was playing those too.
Like, so there was no reason. It was a bit weird because I had these games that we could play on PC. My PC, like my favorite game for a long time was Descent and Descent 2.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And like the movie?
No.
Yeah, the Descent.
But, like, those were all PC games, and eventually my PC got to be a little too slow, so, like, when Descent 3 came out and Free Space came out, things were getting a little bit slow. But
I now understand why you hate Ocarina of Time so much. You just... there's just this deep-seated, like, hatred towards your parents for not letting you have an N64, that you're just like, fuck Ocarina of Time, fucking hate it, and you just start sobbing just a little bit.
I mean, like, you know what, what I played, like, so the first game, I didn't even play Mario 64, like, I still haven't even touched.
That's probably why you pronounce it incorrectly.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I haven't played it, so I still haven't played it.
That's just
really
awful.
Have you not played it?
I haven't played, like, Mario Galaxy is my first 3D.
You don't need to. If Mario Galaxy is the Twilight Princess of Mario games.
And so essentially...
Yeah, but how can you not play Mario 64?
But Mario 64 is the Ocarina of Time of
right.
Mario games.
Exactly, you don't need
in
to
a sense
play
that
it.
It's
been improved on.
It's where it all started. It's so much fun to play. I love... Mario 64 is still... Oh my
yeah,
god, I love that game
I've
so
I've
much.
I've got a few stories that I'm going to tell about Mario.
It is nostalgia.
Yeah, Mario 64 was the first N64 game I had.
Right.
And it's one... Yeah, it is nostalgia... But I don't know.
It's
I feel
still
like
a really good
and
game.
And Mario 64 came out at a perfect time in my childhood. Like, I don't know. Having an N64 in my house, I remember just like looking at it and be like, oh my god, I can't believe I have this. And I just like, oh my god. I used to spend long periods of time
walking on the beach with your N64 in one hand.
Yeah, with my N64. No. In Mario 64, when you would go down into the Hazy Maze Cave.
Yeah.
Or the,
yeah.
And there's like the Loch Ness Monster.
Lucy.
Yeah, his name was Lucy. I just always called it Bernie.
Pretty sure it's Lucy.
And I would, my sister and I would play that game and just run around and swim with that thing.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
The giant eel in... Oh, fuck, I forget. It's something Lagoon, one of the first levels.
No, it's Jolly Roger Bay.
Yes. The giant eel just... I don't want to say it gave me nightmares, but Jesus Christ.
No, yeah, that thing spooked me out, too.
Ugh, couldn't stand it. But,
Mario is the reason why I like enclosed spaces that feel
why you
like
do
they're
like?
Bigger. Yeah, like, okay. It is very... That game is really strange because they couldn't make huge levels,
but they were
very expansive, but compact at the same time.
Yeah,
right.
Because
Jolly Roger Bay is a tiny little level,
but it feels huge.
Yeah, but it feels huge.
And I've all like that.
And
that
same with
kind
the
of thing has always.
Is it called Tiny
mind.
Huge Island?
Tiny yeah. Huge Island. Yeah, yeah.
That one's really great.
Yeah, I mean that one goes up.
Like
yeah,
most of them do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the ba-bomb level
pretty much the same
goes up.
I don't know. I mean, Mario 64 it changed things, and that's why I mean, like, not only was my computer starting to get old at the time I got an N64, but it was a completely different. Like, I played a lot of first person shooters on the computer and strategy games. Like, I played Warcraft and Doom. And Descent. And those were like the big games that I played all the time. And the N64 just like a completely... It was like platformers and adventure games. And like that stuff you didn't see on... Like there were no big 3D platformers on computer.
Right. Like these big, grandiose adventures.
Right. And it had a completely different feel from anything I played on the computer.
Yeah.
Plus, it had an episode one pod racer the next year.
Oh, mm-hmm. my
Which probably
God.
Was also on computer. But
however, no, I always enjoyed that more in the arcade, where you got to like sit down and use the handles.
Nah. Yeah. Oh my God, I can go on for hours about that game. That was probably my most, I think that probably is to date my most played video game.
On the 64?
I don't know. I think maybe of all time. I've played a lot of Dead Rising and a lot of, Resident Evil 5. I've played that game too many times. But no, it was literally an entire summer that my friend Josh would just, he basically lived at my house for the summer.
You guys would pod race every day?
No joke. Every single day. We would do nothing but drink Mountain Dew and play.
Wait, Mountain Dew or Surge?
Oh, we drank Surge, but he liked Surge more than I did.
Okay.
But we would drink. It was, it was around when episode one came out.
Uh-huh.
And so we drank Mountain Dew because it had all the Star Wars characters on the cans.
Oh, really?
And he and I both collected all of the cans. So we were basically collecting garbage in our rooms. That just, it was garbage with Star Wars characters on it.
Awesome.
And we drink a ton of Mountain Dew and play that game and jump on my trampoline. And
I always wanted a trampoline. More.
Yeah, we like 100%ed episode one pod racer.
Nice.
That game, oh my God. It's so good.
So yeah, what'd you think about Shadows of the Empire?
Oh, I like that game a lot too. Pod racer was my favorite though.
My really? Favorite was Rogue Squadron.
Oh, God, I played Rogue Squadron too.
I think Shadows of the Empire was my favorite Star Wars game.
Shadows of the Empire was a big one for me. I remember my gymnastics coach let me borrow his copy of it.
Nice.
I hated it. I always hated the Expanded Universe.
Wow.
I really liked that one.
I read all the books. Hated the books.
You're just angry because you couldn't watch them in movie form.
Right. No, that's pretty much it. It was like I'd read the books and be like, this isn't in the movies. Why do I give a shit about Dash Rendar? That's a dumb name. Dash Rendar, just a rip-off of Han Solo.
Does he die at the end or does he escape? Nobody knows.
He dies.
No, he escapes. No, if you beat it on hard.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
and there's, I think books happen after that.
Yeah. I never beat it on hard. Yeah. I didn't read many of those books.
The jetpack and the pulse rifle were kind of the bomb.
No, it was great. I love the jetpack.
Yeah,
I also love the wampas and the like rock wampas.
That was a cool level. Although I hated how the Hoth level in that, which Hoth levels are always my favorite, you could shoot the AT-ATs to
Matt,
death.
Just enter in the code Wampa Stompa and don't worry about it.
What did that do?
I think you could play as a wampa.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Like that. Or is that like just an urban legend?
No, I'm pretty
I know
sure.
that Wampa Stompa did something.
Yeah, me too. Well, YouTube
but I just want to say, I think N64 for us, because, you know, besides Adam, we're all the same age, pretty much.
Alex.
Besides Alex.
Alex, sorry.
Yeah.
N64 just came at a perfect time.
Oh, my God.
When we just had so much free time.
I know. God, I miss being a kid so much.
Now, see, I do.
I miss being able to just spend my entire summer hanging out with friends and playing video games. Now I spend my entire summer staying at home and the internet.
In the bathroom with your iPod.
I mean, I definitely have fond memories. I definitely, if I had a time machine, I'd throw in the garbage.
See, like,
fuck this time machine.
And leave those memories alone.
I remember.
Yeah,
I didn't really have a lot of time because there was school. But, you know, after school, homework, maybe some video games. But, like, most of my time playing video games was actually, like, before school. So, like, I would wake up at, like, 6 o'clock, go downstairs, and just play. I remember playing Ocarina of Time every day before school.
That was cartoon time for me.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah?
How did you watch Beast Wars?
No, I watched stuff, like, after school, like Power Rangers and Pokemon, and there was some other stuff, like, on at 4 o'clock or something. Toonami.
Yeah.
Dude, that was video game time. You had priorities reversed. Cartoon time in the morning, video game time
cartoon
in the afternoon.
Cartoon time in the morning, cartoon time
See, there,
in the afternoon.
There was one day...
video games all night.
You know the press L to fly code in Ocarina of Time?
No, I've never done that.
Oh, really? Okay, well, it's a Game Shark code, so if you hold down L, you basically just start floating up. And so what I did one day is I jumped off Gerudo Valley, like, into the river, right? And he does that really cool dive. And then I taped the L button down, went to school, just to see how high he would go. But then when I came back, the game was frozen. So I never tried it again.
It probably froze 5 minutes after you walked out the door.
Probably, yeah.
The
music was still
going,
though, so...
I never got a Game Shark because it was like you could have a new game or you could have a Game Shark. And
see,
I really wanted a Game Shark, but I'm just like, yeah, I'd rather have a
I think
game.
I got my Game Shark pretty cheap. Like I remember it being maybe like $20. And then there was a there was a local game store that I don't know like how this happened, but every time a new version of the Game Shark came out, I would just go there, trade mine in, and get the new one for free. Like it was a service they offered.
That's weird.
Yeah,
like you jerk them off or something.
That's maybe I don't know. Maybe
well, Adam would have to go into the back room and let them take pictures.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Of my
I didn't have a Game Shark for the 64. I had one for my Game Boy.
Yeah, I got one for Game Boy specifically for Pokemon.
Yeah.
Same here.
I always bought used games most of the time. Ugh. So my used games were $20 or $25. Mm. So it was really a choice between getting a new game and getting a Game Shark. And I mean, there's really no choice there.
Yeah, fair enough. But the Game Shark did have codes for like every game ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used it for San Francisco Rush.
And I'm also not a big cheating guy. I was never really into cheats.
Oh, I didn't use, not the Game Shark. I just used codes. I had like a book. Scholastics put out like a video game cheat code book.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have that too.
Yeah, it's thin and tall and it had an N64 controller on it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fuck yeah.
I bought that at the book fair and I used
it. I think we all did.
Oh, God. Yeah, I played San Francisco Rush. I got that as a Christmas present. My parents would get me video games used from Blockbuster. So I got Smash Brothers and San Francisco Rush. The same Christmas, and I already had that book, and I put in like every code.
I just realized the thing about N64 games, since they're cartridges, you never kept the cases for them.
I kept them. My brother and I would break them down and flatten them and just put them on the bookshelf.
I've got most of mine. It's weird though because like I kept so many of them, but some of them I'm missing, so I don't know why I got rid of the ones that I don't have.
I kept them sometimes, like, I would have them somewhere, but they'd usually end up flattened at the bottom of a toy box somewhere.
Yeah.
And thrown away. But, I mean, you never... Your N64 games were just out. They were a stack.
You never put them back in the cardboard.
Yeah, I just think that's just funny that that was a... It was like a Game Boy you keep in a pouch or something, but N64 games are always just... You have a stack of games.
Right.
Yeah, you can't really have just a stack of games. Unless
you
want to destroy your
games. I think I kept them in, like, a plastic box or something.
Yeah, it alternated depending on where I lived.
I always stacked them based on which game was my favorite on top and then my least favorite on the bottom.
How big would you make your stacks?
Real high.
Nice.
I didn't keep games very long. I didn't keep games very ever.
N64 is when I started keeping games, and my brother still has most of our N64 games.
I don't think I've ever sold one of my games.
I was talking, I can't remember who I was talking to.
I was talking
to somebody recently about the Mission Impossible game for the N64.
Oh, fuck that game. It was probably
and
me.
How,
I fucking hate that game.
You don't remember who it was, but she was telling me that just like me, we just both played the first level over and over and over the party.
It was fucking impossible.
No. That was a level that I could beat over and over and over. But I love that one because you'd have to like go to the bathroom and knock out that woman and put on her face and walk around as her.
Whoa.
And I just did the party level.
After that level.
I was able to get to like...
I think I used cheats to skip around in that game, actually. And then I'd get to a level and be like, maybe I could beat like the 10th level. And then
as far as the level where you have to like go down through the wires, like the scene in Mission Impossible where he's like on the rope. I got to that part and it was so fucking hard that I quit.
The game was dumb. I never had it.
I wish that like every game was on virtual console because I want to play that in Jet Force Gemini again so bad.
Oh man! See, I didn't have either of those.
I had Jet Force Gemini and Mission Impossible.
My friends had Jet Force.
Oh god, Jet Force is so good.
That's what I hear. I think I have it now though.
What would you guys say is your favorite N64 game besides the obvious Mario or Zelda?
No, those aren't even my favorites.
I Besides,
because my favorite game is, at this point, I've forgotten the flaws in video games, and I just remember the good times playing them.
Star Fox 64.
I've played that game a billion times.
Oh my god, I love that game. I cannot wait for the DS version. It's gonna be so good.
God, I don't know if I can choose.
Mario 64 was definitely one of my favorites. I mean,
would you say that's your favorite?
I mean, okay, maybe. Let me tell you a little interesting fact about me. Every night I dream that I'm flying. Not all the time, but in my dreams I fly. And the way that I fly is that I have to do, yes, pretty much. So I jump 3 times and then
where I had to jump 3.
Right. My third jump is really high and then I gradually glide down to the ground. That's how I fly in my dreams.
It's not flying, that's gliding.
Right. Well, shut up.
Hey, you've never played that game, so you don't understand. You don't know.
But
I love it. The first time in like 12 minutes that Alex starts talking, shut the fuck up. You don't know.
I'm sorry, Alex.
No, but I think Mario, Zelda, and Star Fox.
Okay, yeah, let's do top 3. That's a good idea.
So, Matt,
do you have one?
Banjo-Kazooie.
Good.
All-time favorite platformer ever. Good.
Shit, there's so many games I'm remembering right now.
I know.
Fuck.
Like Diddy Kong Racing?
Yes.
Yeah. I'd probably go Mario Kart 64 number 2.
Good. That's a good one.
And Majora's Mask.
Ah, very good.
That's good.
I mean, I probably place Majora's Mask at number 1 there, but those are pretty much a three-way tie. They're completely different games. Platformer, Banjo-Kazooie, racing game, Mario Kart.
Action-adventure,
Majora's Mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nick?
I'd say number 1, Smash Brothers.
Good choice.
Oh, yeah.
That game was...
Number 1, Aiden Chronicles, the RPG that ruined my childhood.
Was Gauntlet on
Quest,
the 64?
64. Oh. Yeah, Gauntlet Legends.
I love Quest! I don't understand why people don't like that game.
That was part of my childhood being ruined as well. I was so excited for RPGs. You don't understand. I wanted to love RPGs, and I felt left out because I didn't have a PlayStation. I wanted to play RPGs. And Quest 64 is a pile of shit, and Aiden Chronicles was so bad that I played it for like an incredibly long amount of time trying to fool myself that it was a good game.
I think I played Quest 64 like 3 or 4 times. I really like that game. I don't know.
Anyway, sorry, Nick.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm still trying to debate because I'm just remembering so many games. I want to say WCW versus NWO Revenge because I played the shit out of that game.
Well, how about Pod Racer?
I'll put Pod Racer as number 2.
Okay.
And then number 3, either Mario 64 or Rogue Squadron. Mm. I loved Rogue Squadron because of all the codes in that game, too.
Yeah.
Where you could fly like the Cadillac.
Right.
I liked Battle for Naboo. and no joke, because it was easier Rogue Squadron. I could actually beat it. I beat Rogue Squadron eventually over the course of like 18 years or something.
I'm going to say Mario 64 is number 3.
All right, good.
Because that was the game that I probably went back to the most.
Alex, do you have any favorites?
I really love Smash.
Okay.
That game was so good.
Yes,
I have it on the virtual console.
It works really. It stood up to test of time very well.
It's really different going back to play that, though.
No, but going back to especially on the virtual console,
it plays well.
The frame rate is all fixed.
Yeah,
well, I mean, even in the N64 version, it actually plays really well.
Yeah,
but like I think the thing that messes me up the most whenever I go back to play it is like when you go to grab somebody, you stop. Like there's no gliding. You just stop.
It's so beautiful about that series is that every
and you also
single
can't
one
punch
is different.
When you grab.
I mean, that's
is
the thing.
That,
it's
if
a,
you're good at one,
it's
doesn't
a
mean
detail
you're good at all of them.
Of the game specifically that makes it not broken, but it's what makes it that game.
Yeah,
right.
It's not a broken game. Unlike Ocarina of Time.
It's just they changed a lot.
Shut up.
But yeah, it's changed. Some of the rules have changed, so you can't apply rules of one game to the other. You know, I really started playing a lot of Melee when it had come out and then played for a long time. So when I went back and played the original Smash Brothers, it was really surprising to me how fluid the entire game was, like how playable it was, to the point where I was like, wow, yeah. this really Melee is not really
Wait
a sequel,
a minute.
It's like a different game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Sakurai, if you're listening, if you let me work on the new Smash Brothers, I will be your love slave forever.
Yeah, just put Saffron City in there and I'll be happy.
Great.
That's
map.
My favorite
Great
level
map.
In the first one.
Yeah.
And they never brought it back.
It's weird how few levels and few characters.
Yeah, there's
are
like
in the first
eight
one.
Or nine levels in that game.
I think there's 10.
There's 10 characters?
Yeah, you might characters. Be right. Yeah, there's like a level per character.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. That's
so
Melee blew
Smash
my
Brothers.
Mind when characters came out.
I thought that Smash was Brothers. I thought that was the greatest commercial too.
Oh my god, yeah. That commercial
you and me.
Yeah, the turtle song.
Like
that commercial is just ingrained in my head.
I wanted to
And also I just remember in the fourth grade playing that with my friends so much, and there was so much lying going on in the fourth grade. about characters that existed, because
oh really?
Everybody told me how to unlock Goku. Everybody told me how to unlock Sebulba.
Nice.
Everybody told me how to unlock Sonic.
See, I
none
had
of
that.
Them were in that game.
I had that about Mario 64. Like this one kid had me convinced for years that Luigi was in the game, and like he
oh,
told
yeah.
like years later, I even went back and asked him, and he told me like a detailed way how to do it. And he said like. He was somewhere behind the walls you know,
yeah.
to the entrance
game trailers,
of Hazy Mazy Cave.
GameTrailers.com has their pop fiction series that they do where it's a lot of just like myths. It's like it's basically Mythbusters for video games.
Uh-huh.
And I think one of their most recent episodes was about Luigi being in that game.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, Alex.
Yeah, but that's about it.
Just Smash Brothers.
Well, I mean, like, what else did I play?
You played Star Fox, right?
I played a little Star Fox. I mean, that was okay.
Good.
What about Mario Kart?
I mean, I played the Super Nintendo mostly. Mostly the Super Nintendo. I didn't play much for
N64. I
mean, my biggest problem with the N64, and it even started as early as Shadows of the Colossus, was, like, getting the controls down.
Really?
Because
Shadows of the Colossus?
Because,
you mean Shadows,
Shadows
of the Empire?
Because you know, I'm going from a D-pad on the Super Nintendo. I've grown up with the D-pad to going to this analog stick with a.
There's too many directions. I just want eight. Damn it.
Well, like
yeah.
Not only that,
the analog stick drove me crazy.
It's such
really
because when you're going, the nice thing about the direction pad is you only press it once and that's it. It's one input. It's not the direction so much as to get it to go straight is very difficult when you're getting onto the analog. First time. Like, if you want to go straight to the right, and it doesn't feel, it feels so loose, you don't really have much control, you feel like you don't have much control over the controller.
Yeah. Especially, like, if the camera moves.
Well, the other thing is, when you have a D-pad, if you're going to hit to the, let's say you hit a direction, most likely you're going to go, that's as fast and far as you're going to go.
Unless you hold B.
Well, I mean, like, theoretically, if you're going to... So, let's say it's Shadows of the Empire. If you're going to hold down... If it's done with an analog controller, if you hold down right, you're going to go right really far. In order to get that same distance with that N64 analog controller, you have to go quite a distance to go that direction.
But see, I love that, because, like, one of the things they did in Mario 64 is that you had to tiptoe around certain enemies, like the piranha plant, so you didn't wake them up.
I understand you love it, but I hated it. Like, when you're grown up, like, if by the time I'm 13, most of my life I've been playing on a D-pad, where in order to run, you hold down the B button, or you double tap the analog stick, or...
Had you been using the mouse for, like, first-person shooters or whatever?
Yeah, but that has nothing, like...
That's still very different.
That's still very different. That's extremely different even to today.
That's why I'm so shitty at PC shooters.
And that's why I'm so
I fucking
shitty.
Hate using the
and
mouse.
That's why I'm so shitty on console shooters.
Hey guys, guess what? I can play both.
Yeah, Matt drives me crazy. Playing Counter-Strike was so played for so many months and I'm still just so fucking shitty. I hate using a mouse.
Matt, didn't we play Halo a few times on the PC?
No, we never played it on the PC.
Maybe it was someone else. Oh well.
Maybe you're confusing the time that we played Halo Reach together.
Yeah, maybe.
I used to play Halo on the PC at my friend Ryan's house.
Okay.
I like that game.
Anyways.
See, I remember.
What are your top three, Adam?
I already said them.
Oh yeah,
Star Fox, Mario, and what was the other one? Ocarina of Time.
Oh. Yeah.
Not necessarily in that order. Just grouped in there altogether.
What about Perfect Dark? You're a big fan. We haven't even talked about GoldenEye.
I know.
I played GoldenEye. I was a much bigger fan of Perfect Dark.
I was a huge fan of GoldenEye.
Me too. Yeah. I never played.
But only the multiplayer. I never owned it for myself.
Oh really?
Yeah. I played the single player a couple times at like sleepovers, but
yeah, I never owned it either.
All of my friends had it, and at that point, I had no reason to buy it because they had it, and I could just go over to their house and play.
I can't imagine that I owned it because I don't think my parents would let me buy it. But I know that I beat it like all the way through, and I got like the Aztec level and the whatever the other extra level was. So I know I had it.
You know what? I want to say first-person shooters. The reason why I liked Perfect Dark more is because of the co-op.
Mm-hmm.
And the co-op was so cool, especially how you could walk around the agency.
Yeah, that part is cool.
There was a really bad first-person shooter, but me and my brother used to love it because it was co-op, and it was kind of cool, like the movie Starship Troopers. It was called Armorines Project Swarm. It's pretty much a ripoff of Starship Troopers.
I remember that game.
It was the draw distance was maybe 5 feet nice. In the game. Like the enemies would just appear out of nowhere. You were a space marine. You shot bugs,
mm-hmm.
but it was co-op, and it was fucking awesome. And that I played the shit out of that game. Like there were so many games that because I was a kid and didn't know better.
Right. Exactly.
Like I didn't care about technical stuff. It's like as long as it had something like co-op. Not a lot of games had co-op. Like a lot of games had split screen, but often the split screen wasn't as good as the multiplayer was a completely different thing than the single player.
And then when you had the split screen, the frame rate would drop.
Right.
Yeah.
Like depending on how many players you had.
But I mean, just because I had co-op, like there weren't a lot of games with co-op. So because my brother would complain because I'd beat him at every game because I was older.
Right.
When we found games that we could play co-op, it was just like, we're going to play this game forever. And it was like that Perfect Dark and Armorines we played for years just because it was co-op.
Yeah. What was it? Jet Force Jim and I had a really cool co-op mode where one of you would play as the little robot that would fly around and shoot.
Oh, that's right. That's... and had versus multiplayer, which is pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The N64 is ultimately considered a failure.
Why?
For not doing as well as a PlayStation. But I think...
That's where my entire childhood is. Yeah. I got a PlayStation eventually, but I was so...
In the same way people consider the GameCube a failure.
Yeah.
I actually think...
That's weird, because some of my all-time favorite games were on both of those systems.
Yeah, I think like...
Yeah, I mean...
It's a little bit odd, because GameCube...
No, I know. But it is weird that it's technically a failure.
It's a failure in terms of being swallowed by the market, I guess. I mean, in terms of profitability, Nintendo was still making a lot of money off the systems.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So what you're comparing it to is what gamers are comparing it to, it's the pissing contest. Which system has the best games? Oh, which one's the best of this? Which one's the best of that?
But without the 64, we wouldn't have the analog stick or the rumble pack. Or the microphone to talk to Pikachu. Or the transfer pack. Or the memory pack.
Well, finally they're bringing
back. Or the expansion pack.
The microphone talking to Pikachu, they're finally bringing them back with Kinect in the new Mass Effect game.
And
which is great.
Hey, you, Shepard.
Lightsaber on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Thundershock.
I haven't owned the N64, but I appreciate what it's done. It's not like it has bad games. I think the GameCube had better games, to be honest, but
yeah,
I think you guys have a strong attachment to it, especially growing up with it. It's sort of what the Super Nintendo is to me, or the Nintendo is to me.
Right.
I think I was still a little bit too old. Well, that's not even true, because if you talk to like other friends of mine that are my age, they love their N64.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much the perfect age to have it, is like somewhere in your teen.
Yeah, I think for them it was like Ocarina of Time, Mario 64, the games that you mentioned, like Star Fox, these are the games that they always mention also. And I just, it passed me by. I was in the lull. I was still playing fucking Link to the Past at that point. You know, I had...
I'm sorry.
I don't think, but I think those, you know, sort of sounding like, I don't get that feeling, like I owned a PlayStation eventually, you guys were saying. For whatever reason, I don't have that strong attachment towards my PlayStation.
Yeah.
And I always chalked it up to age, but it may very well be the types of games that had come out that generation. You know, just because it's sort of
like... It's like for us, the games that we were playing on the 64 were brand new. Like, they were revolutionary, something we had never done before.
Not even just that. I mean, you know, I almost see it like, you know, just because the pop singers of a certain decade are the most popular at the time, they don't define the generation. I sort of get the same idea with maybe the N64.
Like Miranda Cosgrove.
We were talking about nine...
Hold on, I don't want to fuck my N64.
We were talking about like...
Your N64 is not old enough, though. It was born in 96, so just got sent to jail.
How old is it now?
I said I don't want to fuck it.
Is it 15?
It's 15.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, in the
weird.
You know, in the 90s, it wasn't.
What's weird?
Speaking of like the N64's popularity, the 90s, in terms of music, for example, was. I can't think of any of the pop bands, but they were more popular than say Pearl Jam and Nirvana. And
yeah, you're thinking about your Backstreet Boys, your 90s,
exactly.
Your
Britney Spears,
your Candle Crush,
Smash Mouth.
Those are the guys, but those guys don't define the generation. I almost feel like the PlayStation is almost that. It's almost the pop sensibility, but when you talk about
it's the grunge era.
video games. When you talk about games that define a generation, it always comes down to N64 games that define the generation. You don't hear that Final Fantasy VII really defined the generation for PlayStation. It had cutscenes.
It defined a generation of DeviantArt users.
Yeah, it did that. But I mean, when we talk about like games that defined like 3D gaming, you talk about Mario and you talk about Ocarina of Time, right?
Yeah.
And
you talk about Final Fantasy VII.
You don't talk about Final Fantasy VII.
I know. That's why I did that stupid voice.
Okay. It didn't.
I really wish Kyle would have been on this episode because I'd really like a younger and more PlayStation based point of view.
Because talk about Resident Evil.
Well, yeah, he should email us
survival horror games on the PlayStation.
The PlayStation had fantastic games. Don't get me wrong. But like my favorite,
like Dave Mirra's Freestyle BMX.
My favorite game.
That was my favorite.
My favorite game for PlayStation was Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
You mean
right,
Dave Mirra's Freestyle BMX?
Game.
No, but like to be honest, seriously.
But Alex, in that game, could you play as the Slim Jim guy?
No,
because in Dave Mirra's Freestyle BMX, you could.
Well, like to put things into perspective, my favorite game for the PlayStation was a game that was a 2D side scroller, that was essentially Metroid.
Jedi Power Battles.
Which.
Yeah, I mean, PlayStation was weird because. Besides game, it was more like they were more obsessed with like the Sony mentality has always been like defining the future of games.
Yeah.
But they seem to, in doing that, they seem to innovate less, if that's possible.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, we're all flying around on our jet moto, hover bikes over water, whatever
and
that game
Nintendo
was about.
Has always been, we're giving you fun games. And somehow the biggest innovations come out of that.
Yeah.
I have a question.
The strongest.
Yes. Images. When's the next Wave Race game coming out? I have that same question too.
Yeah, that's a good question. But I have a different question. Is a bandicoot a real animal?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
Because my mom or somebody was telling me something about an animal. And whoever was saying it was, it sounded like they were saying bandicoot. And I just had
a
thought.
It is a real animal. It's a real group of animals.
That's interesting. Okay.
Is it a marsupial?
What a shitty game. Terrible character.
It's so good. What are you talking about? You get to run around like a wacky character through a hallway.
And spin and break boxes.
I know. You run through a hallway.
It's fucking shitty.
You get to run down a hallway as Crash Bandicoot. the world's most annoying character. I like the commercials that came from that those games, though. The guy in the big Crash Bandicoot costume.
I hate him because I hate the way Crash Bandicoot looks with his wacky one big eye. I've always hated this kind of character.
I had a Crash Bandicoot stuffed toy.
Nice.
I found him on the street.
Aww.
I gave him a home.
Adopted him.
I adopted a bandicoot.
I think, Adam, your dream... you're describing your dream where you fly like you're in Mario is very telling of the kind of experience that you and we had with the N64.
Yeah. How much of an impact it had on
us. It defined our imagination.
Right.
It literally like that's, I still think within those parameters and I still dream within those rules that the console created.
Yeah. Invisible walls.
Really strange. And it's really weird that that's how our minds were shaped. And that's why
it's magical.
And that's why
Crash's eyes are the same size, Matt.
Video games aren't old enough to really have this kind of impact on media. And that's why I think Scott Pilgrim, rang true with us, our generation, rather than with the older generation for most of the things. Like, even if people liked it as a movie, they didn't get it the same way. Because I think that's like one of the first movies that's like that. Because,
for the N64 generation?
Because video games...
Oh, not just with the N64 generation, but it's
video games in general.
But yeah.
It's equivalent of seeing like Star Wars for the first time, right? I mean... in terms of... if you're of a certain age and you watch that movie for the first time... And compared to a 50-year-old, that you know, they're not going to be able to expand upon their imagination.
No, but what I'm saying is that for us, seeing Star Wars for the first time was playing Ocarina of Time.
No, yeah, exactly. That's the equivalent of it.
And even 2D games, going back, I think the NES, people who grew up with the NES, which they're still young, they're 30. You know, people that did that, it's a much different experience because, you know. Our cultural imagination for
generation.
What's 100 years called?
Century.
Century.
A century. Our culture imagination for a century was defined by movies. And now it's video games. And it will only become more apparent. Not just in Scott Pilgrim, obviously, like Avatar even. Was very, very video game.
Mm-hmm.
Even though
surrogates,
but I mean, it's just
gamer.
It's strange. It's just strange what kind of experiences that it totally alienates.
Yeah,
anyone who doesn't think the same way, and it's not. And I mean, it's not just a generation of video games. This is video games in general.
Mm.
But I think the 8-bit thing versus 3D polygons. You know, obviously everyone likes 8-bit stuff, but I feel the same way people feel nostalgic for 8-bit things. I feel the same way for N64.
But I have a feeling it
for shitty polygonal.
I have a feeling in a couple years there's going to be a phase where it's the shitty polygonal things.
It's getting there because I mean we're starting now with 8-bit stuff, so it's just gonna like recycle, you know, it's gonna go up from there, and then we're gonna get to another point where we can't get like any better graphically, and then we're gonna start over again.
No, I'm not even talking about graphically. I'm just talking about in terms of the cultural realization.
Yeah, you know,
the generation that gets to a certain age to be able to express that in their, for instance, their artistic sensibilities or. To make their personal, their social decisions in terms of buying products and what they like. If you like what you grew up with and you suddenly have a purchasing power when you're about in your 20s and 30s, you're buying Nintendo stuff, like 8-bit Nintendo stuff or Sega stuff.
Stuff that you liked when you were a kid but you couldn't afford or you couldn't find or you didn't know existed.
Well, you didn't have the ability to make. Right now it's the point that you have the ability to make and to purchase. Right now the 8-bit stuff is popular. You would never see somebody in their 50s wearing 8-bit stuff because it looks ridiculous, and if they do wear it, they're big fucking nerds that go to a Comic-Con conventions and so forth. It seems out of place, but you could see it in a 30-year-old or a 20-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I think in a couple, and there's going to be a time where it's going to be people with barbell hands and ugly faces that are going to be showing up on T-shirts. That phase will happen, and it just hasn't gotten to the point that the people have. Like it just hasn't gotten to that point yet.
Right, we're going to be the ones who do it. I mean, literally me and Adam and Nick. We're working on it, so.
We're collaborating.
So, we're actually building N64 games.
Yeah.
Why don't we? We should just do that.
Yeah, I agree.
It is really interesting to think that the way Matt, you bring up a fantastic point about just thinking about the way you think about, I guess, the way your imagination is geared towards. it's heavily influenced by that 3D realm. Because I don't think that way.
Exactly.
It does work really well. Like I have that. I do think almost like in a 2D plane way when I have those kinds of dreams. Like when I first played Mario 3, I was thinking Tanuki suit and running really fast and flying.
Nice.
Which is...
Right. I mean, your imagination almost exists in these games. Like fragments of these games or exist within you, rather. And that's where you go to when you dream or when you think about
it. It's following those rules. There's a certain rule of the area that you're in.
Mm-hmm. And you subconsciously understand them. It's really strange and really neat.
Now I just want to play Mario 64. Thanks, guys.
No problem.
So you guys don't think that the N64... I mean, it's definitely not a failure, then.
No, I think it wasn't a financial failure either.
It lost in the sense of, like, I guess the console race, in a way.
PlayStation 1 sold, like, 6 times as many units or something, but... It definitely didn't take Nintendo out of the race, and definitely left an impact on those of us who had an N64.
On pretty much anybody who played games at that time.
You mean us cool kids?
Yeah. Fuck those PlayStation kids.
And I mean, Alex, you brought up a great point, is that, you know, everyone remembers Mario and Zelda. Nobody learned any lessons from Crash Bandicoot.
Or from Spyro.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. Spyro. I mean, I can't think of any other Tomb Raider... Was the other one that came out?
There aren't any iconic characters.
Right,
for
those games aren't terrible. Those games are just forgettable.
Or they just. What was it? Like, Resident Evil was another good example, because I don't.
The first Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Well, that was for 64, too.
It eventually came onto N64.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a launch. It launched on the PlayStation.
I didn't know that.
I still remember the first level from that game.
Yep. Warehouse.
Warehouse, yeah.
I mean, if we were to gauge the importance of the N64, it's even more important than possibly even the PlayStation. The PlayStation's importance
is definitely. The
PlayStation's importance is very much hardware-based. Right. The optical media, for instance.
But creativity and...
Well, and the market share base, where it got a lot of people who didn't play games to play games because of the cool factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever I think of like the original PlayStation and just the way it looks and its advertising, all I can think of is Fred Durst.
It's Durst?
Oh, no, Durst. This other guy. Is this guy my buddy Fred?
Kirsten Dunst.
No. But I just think of like nu metal and just shitty, I don't know. I just think of the really obnoxious part of the late 90s.
Yeah, it's funny because Kirsten Dunst is also in a lot of my dreams, but never...
Playing N64.
The only, like, the PlayStation, anytime I think of PlayStation advertising, it's always for Final Fantasy VII. It's always for... Yeah,
that's the only game they have.
I mean, Metal Gear Solid, the only other real game that PlayStation, you can sort of put it on that same pedestal as, say, Mario or Ocarina of Time, would be, I think, Metal Gear Solid, for actually telling such a grand story and being able to tell it
right.
With in-game graphics, very fluidly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but see, nobody like, could really I think, copy nope. that.
Well,
this
I think
so fucking bizarre.
I think that like the Nintendo games, and even now, like a lot of times they do this. Like they were very simple to play; anybody could pick them up and play. Whereas, like a lot of the PlayStation games were not really for mature audiences, but like younger people wouldn't fully enjoy the experience. Yeah, of
nobody's
playing
gonna
them.
Play Final Fantasy VII.
Well, that, I think like, the other thing about Final Fantasy VII is that the best parts about it, the stuff that was actually, and the reason I remember the advertising is because you watched, what they showed you was this fucking movie. Right?
Yeah,
you thought, I was, because when I saw it, I was like, that's going to be a fucking awesome game to play. And then you play and you realize,
wait a minute.
Wait, he's like, his arms are fucking, he's like Popeye. Right? Does he have like scurvy? What the fuck is that? Like, he's a tumor? He's got tumors for hands? It's nothing that you actually expected to see. And it was the sore disappointment came in the fact of, this is not what I was sort of promised.
Right.
The exciting part was like, okay, the story is pretty grand and it's fun to play. But then if you play
Nintendo delivered on their promises, though.
Huh?
They said Nintendo delivered on their promises because, I mean, you truly were either
in a world,
or you were out.
Yeah.
No. You're either in or you're out.
Yeah.
That was their promise.
Right.
And then the end is also spinning and it's 3D. Mm-hmm. And multicolored.
But it's sort of... it's surprising that like I just can't even think of any PlayStation games I would like die to play now.
Dave Mirra's Freestyle BMX.
I mean, the only other
BMX
one.
No, not BMX. Dave Mirra's Freestyle BMX. I still stand by that game.
Because I'm thinking,
great.
You know what games I'm thinking? Like,
fuck
I'm
that
thinking
sequel,
Mega
though.
Man X4 and Street Fighter Alpha 3.
Games.
Which.
Yeah, I don't
but
know.
They're all 2D. They're all 2D side scrollers. I mean, it was the generation that. They were making 3D games.
You know, oh, wait. I had Star Wars Demolition on PlayStation 1. I like that game.
I think
that was just a ripoff of Twisted Metal.
Oh, there was Race.
I think the only games that I played for PlayStation were Twisted Metal. That was a big one. And Tekken Tag.
Oh, fuck. Tekken 3. I played Tekken 3 so much.
Shittiest fighting game ever.
Not a great.
I played through Race Storm.
You play as a little lizard and a panda.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Ridge Racer.
Ridge Racer.
Damn it! I fucking thought we were gonna get through an episode where Adam wasn't gonna do that.
We've been playing. We've been talking about this for so long. I think we should just say, "Hey, listeners,
you're either in or you're out.
You're in or you're out. If you're in,
buy Dave Mirra's Freestyle BMX.
If you're in, email us wtpodcast@gmail.com and tell us what your preference was: N64, PlayStation, or tell us what some long-lasting PlayStation gems that we forgot about were. Because we, I mean...
what's it?
Tell us how your dream was shaped by the
okay,
N64.
Nick, you're not a fucking listener.
I was just
I'm
trying to list
listeners.
A bunch so that we could... I could
go fuck yourself.
Parappa the Rappa.
Donald Trump.
Rappa the Rappa.
And what's the other one, like radio station? The one that had, like, the girl... Parappa.
Dance. Wait. Yeah, that was Dreamcast.
Or
was,
like, Jammer Lamb.
Dance Channel 5, something?
Yeah, Space Channel 5.
Yeah, that was Dreamcast.
Space Channel 5. Yeah.
Okay. Jet Grind Radio.
That was
true. Okay. Anyway, can we go to emails now?
No, Jet Set Radio Future is Dream. I don't remember. Yeah, emails.
Whatever. Emails. We got quite a few this time. New guy. Fan mail. Hello, you can call me Battle Navi. Gamer tag.
I don't want
Obviously,
to.
Obviously, this is my first time I've sent you any fan mail, but I need you to know that you are probably first or second best podcast I've ever heard. And
he hasn't listened to a lot of podcasts.
And I'm not sure this was asked before, but what is your guys' favorite console and why? I'd have to say my favorite was the N64 or the SNES.
Just listen to the last hour.
Yeah.
So there you
go. Got your answer.
They both had some of the best games out there, and even now. That's it for now, and I'll get around to sending more interesting fan mail, LOL. P.S. Zelda Working Title Podcast plus Minecraft equals wins.
I don't even know.
I take it he listens to it while playing Minecraft.
No, WinZip. Yeah. He put it in a zip file and then unzipped it.
Okay, good thing I have WinZip. Well, at least the trial version. I'll be able to unzip it.
Right.
Actually, my favorite consoles, I like the Xbox.
I think
the original Xbox
is...
I feel like now that I'm older, I don't really have a favorite console.
Yeah,
I guess I have one that I play my PS3 a lot.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like... Now it's not the console, it's the games. I have the games that are my favorite.
Right.
But at the time, the N64 was my all-time favorite.
Yeah, I'd say as far as when I cared about consoles, N64.
Yeah.
I'd say either 64 or Dreamcast.
See, I've had every video game console since the N64. And I think the N64 is the one that I love the most.
Mm.
Holy fuck, Noah Harn is really trying to outdo Gian Piero.
I know, right? All right, Balloons Podcast. Hello, everybody. I thought you guys should know that I found a podcast by Matt and Nick in 2008.
Oh, fuck.
They had the date titled after the band. I'm not sure if I'm reminding Matt and Nick about this, but I'd like to hear what they think about that and if they forgot they made it.
No, we didn't forget.
I remember that we made it.
Well, there you go.
I think it's actually pretty funny. That it had
it's a little overlong.
Interview. We just talked, basically. The one we did in Chili's was funny because Danny really thought Chili's was like a local restaurant. That we were at, because that's what we said. Why would he think we're lying? Except that we lied for ever. Anyway.
I also wanted to tell Matt and Nick that your guys' EP is great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And I agree that Spirit Tracks is a great game. You guys reminded me that I haven't finished that game. I made it to the Desert Temple, so I'm almost done. I've also been playing Ocarina of Time on my GameCube because you guys reminded me that I haven't beaten that game. Then, that reminded me that I haven't beat Majora's Mask. Having the Collector's Edition, it reminded me that I also haven't beaten any of the side-scrollers. So, yeah.
Thank you!
I have a lot of games to play. Anyways, even though the last podcast was pointless, it was entertaining. And I'm a Nick fan as well as a Matt fan. Adam,
fuck yeah.
You're just a sad person. Just kidding, but don't be dumb again. No promise.
Wait. It's because of the Batman trailer.
Right.
Wait, what? Yeah. Well, what happened with Adam being dumb?
Oh, Adam thought
I saw a Batman
a fan-made Batman
Facebook,
trailer. It had a bunch
Robin
of scenes
Williams was in it and I wasn't thinking and I thought it was real.
Scenes of Robin Williams from what's the movie called?
Well,
Insomnia.
The only Robin Williams movies I've seen are
Patch Adams,
Blubber,
and
Patch
RV.
Adam, and Bicentennial
RV.
Man.
RV had RV. JoJo in it.
Harvey was actually surprisingly funny.
Shut up. Just shut
funny.
Up.
Just
that movie was so
you,
stupid. I got forced to watch it.
Anyway, keep reading the email.
Yeah.
Angel is cool. Alex is still boring and Asian. And it occurred to me that no one hasn't made fan art of Matt and Alex Eiffel Towering Ash's mom. So just so you know, I'm working on it. So far,
yes.
I already have Ash's mom and Matt drawn. All I have left is Alex and maybe some background. Anything else that I need to add? Question mark.
Just Noah Harnett again.
Yes, Noah Harnett.
No, I just want to say...
Needs a haircut.
Oh, you need a haircut, probably. Just get a haircut.
Head shaved.
Damn
but also,
hippie.
You know, I just want to say, enjoy being under 18 because you get to appreciate... the girls of Disney Channel and Nickelodeon now. And I mean, it's fucking, I don't get it. The second I turned 18, it was just like I had no attraction to any girls under 18 anymore. And I think it's bullshit. So enjoy it now. Get your bone out while you have the chance. Because those girls become off limits very soon.
Get your bone out. Take a loan out. Just take a load off.
Take a chode off.
And then take your chode off.
Next email.
Okay. I don't know this guy's name. It says no. It says thanks.
Oh, it's Noah again. It's my name.
Just wanted to
Noah.
Say that the last few podcasts were awesome. Also, you guys do have fans who are over 18. I think I first saw your podcast advertised on the Spoonie Experiment or something. That was a long time ago. Damn.
That was back when Laura cared about us.
Right. A tiny banner on the side of the page caught my eye. I've been a fan since around podcast 3, and I've spread it to my friends. Real.
That was my banner. That was my banner.
You sure it was yours and not mine? It might have been both of ours.
I bet he probably would have thrown up if he saw your banner. Mm. But mine is more eye-catching.
Mine
yours
was animated.
More, yours is more eye-raping. No, I made mine animated, too.
Did you?
Yeah, I had Tingle floating up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. All right. I'm not even that big of a Zelda fan. I'm currently playing through Majora's Mask and having an awful time. Too many fetch quests, in my opinion. So it's even weirder that I latched onto your podcast. But you guys just come up with a lot of good jokes, so I keep coming back. Thanks again.
And we rarely talk about Zelda.
Yeah.
You said you're over 18. Are you a girl? If so,
God.
please contact me on my personal website. Get on the website, and we'll have more contact. Anyway, sorry.
All right. Noah Harnett again. A suggestion for Matt and Nick. Hi, Matt and Nick.
Another one.
Matt and Nick. I was thinking about your new EP, and since it's for free... Actually, I think you guys answered this last time. And since it's for free, maybe if you put it on iTunes for free, you might gain a bigger fan base. I think people will download just because it's free. I do that a lot. Another band that I really liked did that 2 years ago, and now they're in the Vans Warped Tour 2011, and got signed to a record company. It's just an idea to help you guys, and hopefully it will pay off. Keep up the great work. P.S. The font is from the original Legend of Zelda. I just see, like, times, but
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, it's New Roman. well, I guess they used that font in the original Legend of Zelda. Times New Roman as popularized by Zelda. Thanks for... Really, Noah, I know you're just trying to be helpful. And I'm sorry that Nick was laughing at you.
No, I was
fucking dick.
I couldn't get going on Warped Tour out of my head from Pierce's video.
But really, for one thing, we can't put it on iTunes for free. I don't know how to do that because we're not a record label. I think you have to be a record label to put it on for free. And it will be on iTunes eventually once I have the
money. Didn't you
say,
didn't you say that you have to pay to do that?
Yeah, I have to pay to get it set up. So I it will be on iTunes, but not for free. Sorry.
Going on Warped.
All right, Jean-Pierre, to Angel, Matt, and Nick, baby Adam and Alex. Angel, sorry I spelt your name wrong. Matt and Nick, new favorite podcaster, spelled with a U because he's from Canada. Sorry, Alex.
Fan of new metal.
Right. episode 62 is so funny and probably my favorite from now on. Hey, Balloons is fun. Where are the new episodes for your Balloons is Fun podcast? Come on and make some more. They were awesome. Adam.
We'll be... podcasting from a PAX video podcast.
Oh yeah.
So it will be like a return. It will be me and Nick making jokes and stuff. And maybe we'll even I'm not gonna say
go to Chili's afterwards. Sure.
Maybe we'll go to a restaurant afterwards and sit down with the camera and
do a bonus
for realsies though, Matt. I'm sure Gamer Grub will be there.
I know.
Yeah, we'll go.
I'm gonna interview him.
Let's just get the Gamer Grubbers queued up on my iPod and be like, hey, do you remember this song?
Put down your bag! Pick up a pouch! No greasy fingers when you pour in your mouth! No time to pause! You've got games to play! Forget keyboard chrome! Snack the true game away with Gamer Grub! Bosses are tough, but they're no match for you, 'cause you got the right stuff. It's Game of Thrones. It's Game of Thrones. It's Game of Thrones. It's Game of Thrones. All right.
And we'll put that in post.
Oh, man, okay. I can't wait for PAX.
Adam, have you ever thought of doing a video podcast? And for everybody, which podcast episode is your favorite or most memorable? Maybe the Zelda timeline one?
Oh, God.
No. Yes, we've thought about doing video podcasts. You can't do multiple videos with Skype, but now you can do it with Google+, so maybe sometime in the future.
Podcast from PAX.
If you just film yourself talking and send me the video, I can edit it together. Okay, that'd be horrible.
Yeah, we could do that. It'd be a big file and it'd take you a while to edit. But what's your favorite
special episode?
What's your favorite episode? Do you guys have one?
No,
I don't remember the numbers. There are definitely a few. We talked about this on the one that Matt wasn't on. We were just thinking back to some of the older episodes.
Angel should be here because he's been re-listening to all of them.
That's true.
That's been fun. The ones where I can fantasize about Alex's hot cousins and
I tend to like the ones that I'm not on.
Really?
Well, I don't know because they're the ones that I actually listen to all the way.
Oh, I see.
I just like to work out my sexual fantasies.
I like the one with Kyle where Kyle was definitely drunk talking about Zelda Williams. That was good. There was the episode.
What was episode 62?
Was Kyle obviously drunk on that one?
Yeah.
Because I never listened. I think
there
so.
There was one that we were talking about, the one where Mario Galaxy 2 came out and Alex got so mad at you and I, Adam.
Yeah.
That was a really good one.
Yeah.
I don't remember the numbers, but also the one where we talked about, our favorite video game item, I think is a classic.
Oh yeah. That's a classic.
Or episode 10, the 10th year anniversary one.
Oh yeah. That was a good one.
That was a good one too.
I like the N64 one.
Yeah, I like this one.
Yeah.
I think this is a good one.
I like this one too. It was, you know, we were just talking and then it got like really deep all of a sudden.
It did get deep. And for people who are saying I shouldn't sidetrack, we didn't get sidetracked at all on this one.
This is a good one.
Towards the beginning.
That's all right. It's all right. Stop. We hadn't started yet.
I'm sorry. Just
Alex.
Rain Man.
Alex, keep on being Asian and playing with Laser. capital L-A-S-E-R. That's how it's spelt, not lasers.
Okay. What's laser?
I don't know what that means.
What the fuck
is he talking? I don't
know. Is that some new sort of racial slur?
I don't know. Maybe.
Have fun, laser.
Explain yourself. Email us.
Kyle, white guilt all over Alex Tot Cousin for me, will ya? Nick, my birthday is next Friday, August the 5th. Can you draw me something special? No. Your time...
That wasn't
Nick,
me.
Not Alex.
But no,
time,
no, I can't.
Your time to make the big bucks. I'm actually going to California on the 9th to the 15th, so I can probably mail you some talent development in a letter. Can you mail people money in the States? If so, read all your personal information on the podcast so I can get it, like address, social insurance, credit card number, and your zip number.
Social zip insurance. Drive number.
Yeah,
your zip insurance. Drive serial number.
Yeah, yeah, I'll definitely do that for you.
Hey, guess what, Giampiero? Your birthday is one day after mine and President Barack Obama's.
Holy crap.
So can you, for my birthday, buy me Kingdom Barack Hearts? Obama. I really want to play that game again.
Or a Canadian fig leaf. Giampiero again. By the way, Nick and Matt, I bought your album Fun on iTunes. Smiley face.
Sweet. I wish you would.
Don't listen
it
to it.
On PayPal, because it's really hard for me. I think I have like $16 that I have to get mailed a check from CD Baby.
Yeah. So, iTunes owes us like $16.
Yeah. Nice. So thank you, though.
Thank you. Thank you. Definitely. I put a lot of work into that beard on the cover.
It's a nice beard.
Yeah.
Sex. All right. So that's it for emails. Any last thoughts?
No. Give us the contact information. Come on.
All right. All right. If you guys have any Nintendo points or XBLA, PSN, whatevers, and you don't want to use them, send them to us, and we will give them out for some sort of contest somewhere in the future. Contact info, you can go to our boards at ztpsocialboard.proofboards.com or tinyurl.com/workingtitle. It's the same place. Email us, wtpodcast@gmail.com. Our Twitter is ZeldaWTPodcast. Our Facebook is Zelda Working Title Podcast. Google Plus is Zelda Working Title Podcast, but I think our account might be broken or something, so if somebody tries to add us and it doesn't work, email us and let us know, because we can't post anything, so I don't know what's going on. Rate us on iTunes, give us a million stars. And
Cool Borders, that's another that's PlayStation game.
Cool Borders?
Yeah.
The hell?
Good night. Good night.
See you guys next week. Thank you, Matt, Nick, and Alex. Bye, guys.
Bye.
And we're off.
Hello, 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 hello.
Yeah, I'm here too.
Matt, your phone keeps making that jingle jangle noise.
I know, I'm sorry. My mom is texting me.
Just put it on shush mode.
Nah.
Put it on rumble pack mode.
I'm not a shusher.
Yeah, turn it on your rumble pack.
I'm not a shusher.
I have mine on rumble pack.
Yep.
I changed the background of my phone to that picture. That glamour shot of that kid with the Pikachu doll. And did you see that, Adam?
No.
That I posted on Facebook?
No.
I posted a picture on Facebook that you would love.
Let's see it.
It's a retard with Pikachu.
It's not a retard.
He's a fucking retard.
No, he's not. He's he looks like an upstanding man.
Yeah.
Nick Shively. That's funny.
Yeah. No,
that's also a giant Pikachu.
Yeah,
it's like, that's the best. that's what happens when you leave candy on your floor.
Rare candies.
Right. Oh, man.
Hey, guys.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have a job interview tomorrow.
Where?
For what? For who?
It's for the president. I'm going to be a stunt double.
Cool.
Yeah, he's deciding to do some crazy stunts. Jumping over canyons.
So are you going to do blackface? Or are you just gonna,
yeah, okay, tasteful stuff.
Sure,
but just full blackface.
Okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be tasteful, but it is gonna be just, you know, grease paint on my face.
By tasteful, he means like it's gonna be like a tasteful nude. He's gonna be naked.
He's gonna cover himself in chocolate, and it's going to be tasty for Mrs. Obama.
The reason why they chose me is because I have the same. Well, for one thing, me and Barack, we share a birthday. Mm-hmm. If you didn't know that, and
you're both from Africa.
Also, no,
he's from
we have
Hawaii,
the same exact penis size, shape, and form. Like, it's ridiculous. Same thing. It's the same thing down there.
Can that happen? I wasn't aware. I thought it was like fingerprints.
No. That's the thing. It's so rare when they saw it.
I see.
They saw, you know, they went to my website and they saw a few pics and they're like, we got to get this guy in here. You know, put some grease paint on his face.
What a great story. This is really great, Matt. Thanks for this story.
You're welcome.
Matt, is your birthday on next Wednesday?
I don't know.
Is that the 4th? The first is Monday. Second is...
It's Thursday.
It's Thursday. It's next Thursday.
I can't believe I'm going to be 18, guys.
I know. Finally legal.
Barely legal. Mm-hmm. Hey, Taylor Momsen just turned 18.
Who is that?
Trust me.
So,
trust me. I know.
She shows... she played Cindy Lou Who.
And then after she finished that job, she went on Gossip Girl, and then she started taping up her nipples and pretending to be a rock star.
Yeah, so we'll get to see the nipples untaped hopefully very soon.
Or maybe just more of the taped. Cause
no!
Just because she's 18 doesn't mean she wants to be naked.
But here's
maybe she wants to be tastefully unnaked.
No, the great thing about celebrities is that, well, for one thing, you can't admit attraction to underage females. Everyone knows that.
Sure.
But the minute the second they turn, when the clock strikes 12 on their birthday, boner's on. It's safe. It's safe for your boner to come out.
Yes.
And you're just like, now they're hot. Like before, nothing. They weren't real.
It's Flop City.
Yeah, it's Flop City. But now, before the taped nipples, you know, I was like, I bet, you know, she's a very nice young lady, but I'm just, you know, she's a girl. She's not 18.
She's
but
a
now,
girl.
Now,
she's young enough to be your daughter, which would just be awkward.
In retrospect, can I think the taped nipples? Can I like them?
No.
No.
Okay.
However, so if you marry
one of those Olsen twins, that fake one that's been circling the internet for years.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that one.
No, you know what I'm talking about, right, Adam?
No, I don't.
Oh, I feel like everybody's seen that picture.
Nope.
It gets posted in message boards constantly.
So I can't. So tape nipples from here on out are fine, or uncovered nipples. But
what if it's nipples that have fallen off and are taped back on?
No, that's never good. But maybe if you're into
that kind of thing.
I just can't, like, no 17-year-old tape nipples. Mm-hmm. That's not cool still.
But okay,
even though she's 18
so
now.
Here's a question. If you marry her and then look at pictures of her while she was 17 or younger.
You're going to prison.
Okay.
But it's not cool to like those?
No. You'll go to prison.
So, if you see your spouse's baby picture, you know, like where they're on the bearskin rug. And you get a little something going on down there.
Then you're just a fucking freak.
That's bad.
I don't know. I guess if you're looking at her tape nipples and you're sort of like, oh, how adorable. She was so young. That's okay.
But what if you're looking at her tape nipples and you're imagining her now? That's what I mean. I mean, obviously, once she turned 18, once the moment has passed from 11:59, 12 o'clock, she's 18 now.
You're committing mind crimes.
Right. But no, but I'm going back. She's a much different woman now. She's a woman. She's, you know, full grown.
It's a mind crime, man.
But when I see the pictures of her when she's 17 with the taped nipples, you know, I'm thinking back then, what if she looked like she looks like now?
I think.
Like, I'm imagining her as 18. Retrospectively, it's
I think
like
the
mind
only
time travel.
The only person who can truly answer this question is the president of Nickelodeon, because he seems to really be in the jailbait business.
Well, what
these
about
days.
Disney?
Is Disney
them too?
Yeah,
they've got a lot of jailbait there.
Okay, I guess so. I thought it was Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon has the
Jamie Lynn Spears.
Wait, that's
Miranda
TV
Cosgrove and Victoria something or other.
That's right, yeah.
Wait, is Miranda Cosgrove 18 yet?
No.
I don't.
There's no way.
Okay.
She's probably like 15 or 16 or something.
No.
Okay, well, tell me when she's 18 and I'll have some comments.
I hate you.
Let's start the podcast.
Yeah, let's start this.
Alex, are you still there?
I'm looking up whether she's 18. No, she is 18.
No, she's not. Is she really?
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's awful.
Yes! Damn, I'd bone her. I think, as long as she's legitimately...
She doesn't look like it. Are you sure?
I just put up the link. 18 years old.
I thought Alex was just, like, off doing something else because he was just like, oh, fuck these guys.
I know.
I don't want to listen to this shit. I got booze to drink. Oh. But, no, he was being way creepier than all of us. He's quietly listening and doing Google searches.
Wait, have you seen the tape nipples?
Oh, God.
No, I did not. I wasn't really... I was zoning in and out with the tape nipples because I'm thinking about coffee right now.